The Nugget season is finally here. We'll preview game one versus the Suns, get notes from practice, and do rapid fire. It's Locked On Nuggets.
You are Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Nuggets. I'm your host, Matt Moore, senior NBA writer for the Action Network and Nuggets insider for 104.3 The Fan in Denver. Glad to have you along as we start the 2021-22 Nuggets season. Joining me as always, my partner in crime, my compadre, my buddy, my consigliere. I don't know. Am I your consigliere or
my
are you
wartime consigliere?
Is that, are you mine or am I yours? We're each other's consigliere. We're co-consigliaries. It's Adam Mares from thednvr.com. Adam, are you ready for this season?
I am so ready, man. I'm excited for this one. I'm excited for it to be back. And I'm excited to be back doing the show with you.
Aw, thanks, man. We want to thank you for making Locked On Nuggets your first listen each and every day. We're free and available on all platforms, no matter where you want to find us. We're on 9 News Denver. That's exciting. We're on YouTube. You've got to check out our YouTube channel. Go to YouTube.
Go subscribe.
Search for Locked On Nuggets. Subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. Do that for us. It helps us out so much. We really appreciate it. You get to see all of the weird stuff I wear around my home. I got my Action Network hoodie on. No hat today, which I'm mad about because I need to wear a hat when I'm on these videos. Adam still has nothing behind him because he's really lazy and will not decorate his home. Check it out on YouTube. On today's show, we're going to preview the first game versus the Phoenix Suns, get our predictions, all of those. In the final segment, we'll do rapid fire about how we think that game is going to come out. But first, in this first segment, let's talk a little bit about practice. We're talking about practice because the Nuggets have had a lot of it, Adam, after a year where they basically never got to have it. The Nuggets have had a lot of practice, and we had that disastrous practice on Saturday that had everyone kind of like a little bit shooken up, like, I don't know how this is going to go. Last 2 days have been better, predictably. I was at practice on Monday. Malone talked about a number of things. So Will Barton. The conversation is basically this, is that they were playing sloppy. They were playing badly. They weren't ready. And Malone and Jokic and Barton all spoke up and were basically like, all right, let's cut the nonsense and let's get down to business. Jokic apparently, like Malone said, that Jokic said, we're going to get our asses kicked on Wednesday. So that's pretty direct language from the MVP. So look, a good day of practice, better energy in the gym. It is, the preseason's over. This is a veteran team now. I'm walking off the ledge of DEFCON 4 here. We're back up to like 4.75 with your Denver Nuggets. How are you feeling about things, Adam?
I'm with you. You know, it was nice that they got a couple good practices in. And it's so funny, Matt, us, just the way we get glimpses inside. I've been thinking about this a lot lately with us not being in the arena for the last year and a half and how much we feel like, oh, you miss. And then when you go back into the arena and you're around, how you realize you see so much more, but you also see just what they, you know, in a lot of ways, what they tell you.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets were sharing a lot of concern out of Saturday's practice, Sunday's practice, even, you know, a little bit into Monday. But you're right that there has been a bit of a calming, and like, and maybe this is just the natural rhythm of a preseason where you had the sloppiness, you had the unfocused part, and then the team rallied around and it's like, okay, now it's go time and they're in a better spot. That's the vibe I get. But again, I'm hyper aware at this moment that that's the vibe I get because that's what's being told to us through the people we talk to at practice.
I'm also interested in whether or not Jokic basically putting his foot down and being like, all right, that's enough, was in part because he saw like how Malone was reacting over the weekend. That it was just like, all right, guys, like, we're going to kill the man. Let's lighten up and let's buckle down and get a little bit more serious here. And, you know, it's hard to tell. Like, it's hard to tell the difference. It's so funny. And it's hard to tell the difference in whether it was Bucks Nets, honestly, on the first game of the season was kind of interesting because like Reggie Miller was talking about how the Nets just aren't playing very hard right now and like all these type of things. And from my vantage point, it was more of, no, like the Bucks are just way more physical and like they have a lot more intent.
They look great, by the way. They looked really good.
Yeah, because they're not just a team that shows up and expects to beat everybody because they have two superstars. Like, they're an actual team. Like, they've been through hard times. They're on ring night. They're celebrating. Like, they're not done. They didn't just get that title and we're like, we did it. Right. Like, they're coming. Great start for them, but this is part of it, right? It's like, were the Nuggets lackadaisical on Saturday because they're not connected and they don't have the personalities necessary, or was it just a bad couple of practices after a bad week of preseason? I thought a lot about the fact that the Nuggets missed Jokic for training camp. And who was it that was talking about this? Someone was talking about this, about how training camp used to be like 2 weeks, right? Like training camp was like a month, and then you had like a month of preseason and then the game started. Now it's like training camp's 4 days.
Right.
And then you're into preseason.
Yeah.
But I will say this, like, I do think that one of the things is learning everything without Jokic, I think, may have been different.
Yeah.
I think that may have been like strange. And so I think more time with Jokic is better for everybody, even though the starters played well. I did want to note, we've been kind of bandying this about. We talked about the loss of Wes Unseld Jr., and Malone made very clear to talk about how that was going to be a loss. He was excited for Wes, glad for him to have the opportunity, but it was going to be a big loss for them because, like, he worked with Wes since Golden State when they were both assistants there.
Yeah.
I did, however, ask him who the defensive coordinator is for this season, and it's going to be Jordy.
Yeah.
And Jordy Fernandez takes over as number two behind David Adelman, and Popeye Jones is the third frontline bench coach. So Malone then said, is this because you want to know who to blame? That was the thing. And I was like, no, it's who to credit when the Nuggets play great defense. He's like, oh, okay, pass that poll. Made mention of that. He did make mention on Monday that he will get ejected this season. So thanks for listening, Coach. Appreciate that. We'll go ahead and put that over at 2.5 now, since you ahead and confirm that you will get kicked out. And, you know, he was generally, I think, pretty positive. Today at practice, I wasn't able to make it because I'm slammed with preseason stuff. But he did say Monte Morris is confirmed the starter. Like, that's not – I'm not surprised at that. I've talked about this on several podcasts. I think by midseason, Monte's back on the bench for a number of reasons that have nothing to do with Monte's play and more about the bench. But I'm not surprised that Monte's going to start the season at point guard. You?
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. I'm actually surprised that he revealed that. Was he asked directly about who the starting point guard was?
He was. I do not know who asked the question, but Harrison had it.
All righty. Because that was the only thing that would surprise me, is if he came out unprompted and said it. But just because I almost assumed it, and I think everybody else kind of assumed it as well. But, not a surprise.
Jokic laughed off. Like, he cut short a question about feeling pressure after the MVP. The quote was, brother, I could not care less. Which, extremely on brand for Nikola Jokic. And good, because TNT referred to Giannis as the reigning MVP going into...
Yeah. I'll tell you this, Matt. It only took me one day of the season being back for me to be over the NBA. I say this every year, but I love the Nuggets. I love watching the Nuggets. But every time I step outside the Nuggets, like into the general NBA world, I'm just so annoyed. And it took one day.
I think it's going to be a little bit better this season. I think that the disrespect that Jokic gets will continue, because this is part of it. Like, Jokic isn't – like, this is a good example of it. Jokic isn't going to demand respect.
Yeah, he doesn't want – I mean, part of this is the under-discussed part. Jokic doesn't do his part to be a star because he doesn't want to be a star. He wants to be a star talent, but he doesn't want to be a star person.
Yeah.
And so some of this is like, why does Mike Wilbon still not know what his name is? That's because Jokic doesn't want to do interviews with Mike Wilbon. He doesn't want to do commercials with ESPN. He doesn't want to do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And – again, I still think if you're covering this league and you become one of the main faces, you need to know the MVP's name. But there's another aspect, another layer to this we don't talk about too often.
Can I? All right. So there's two theories here. I do want to talk about this real quick, and then we'll go to break. I do want to talk about this real quick. Several people have called him Djokovic.
Okay.
Is it based off of the Joker nickname and it being related to tennis? Is that the connection? Or is there some sort of like floating inside NBA, like inside locker room joke going
around?
No,
it's not a joke. It's not there are people that make it a joke. You know, Big Waz, I know.
He used to. Like, he doesn't anymore
because of how great he was, I think, in the playoffs in the bubble or whatever. Like, he started to finally respect him. But So there are guys that did it, but I think most, like the Wilbons of the world, and we see this, the Reggie Millers of the world, I think these are guys that for whatever reason just can't, it's not even that hard of a name, but just for whatever reason, they spend that little time on him. It reminds
Does Reggie
me of,
do it?
Reggie has done, I believe Reggie has done. I could be wrong. I could be
I'll
wrong.
Say I, know this. Reggie, I had a lot of respect for Reggie last year. This was mid-season. Like, yeah. This wasn't even before the Embiid injury. Like, he was like, Nikola Jokic is your MVP. Yeah, and he's been amazing.
He likes Joker.
Yeah, he was like, more people need to watch this guy.
It's just, to me, like, when Giannis came into the league and, like, he had a really tough name, right? And by about year two, it was kind of like, all right, guys, this guy's really good, and he's kind of an important figure in the NBA. So the tough name thing, like, just, you got enough. You need to know it. You just need to know it. Like, that's part of your job now. And I feel like and then you get into your 4 or 5, you still heard the jokes, but it became cringy. I don't know why it's not cringy with Jokic anymore. He's a good enough player that it's like, hey, you just need to know the top 10 guys in the NBA. You need to know their name. You need to know basic facts about them to be able to talk about them. And so it blows my mind. But like you said, it's not going anywhere. We're in year 7. It's still here. We're going to get this for 15, 20 more years.
Yeah. Final thing before we go break, a lot of conversation today about Jokic as a new father. Malone had adorable anecdotes about talking about diaper changing and all these type of things. Malone did mention that he thinks that Jokic is a little mentally fatigued from being a dad. And I'll bring this up. Jokic said 2 years ago in the before 4 times that he doesn't take naps on game day. And I heard that. And I went back and asked him, I was like, I need to confirm this. You don't nap on game day? And he was like, nope. Uh-huh. And I was like, you're not tired at all? He's like, no. He's like, and he was like, very in typical yoga, like, he was annoyed. He was like, no, I don't take naps. This is not a thing. Don't ask me about it. Like, it's just not something I do. Right. What? This isn't a story. I just don't take naps.
Is there an update now? Father Papa Yoke?
I'm going to have to ask him as we get into the season, because like, you and I both know, baby sleeps, you sleep. And naps are crucial that first year. When you are a first year, this is the biggest thing. First kid, first year dad is entirely different from the rest of the experience. You agree?
Yeah. I do. I just don't know about a professional athlete situation. Like, I don't know. Look, I'm sure.
Right. Cause he could have a full-time caretaker. I get it.
He could have a full-time caretaker, or you know, I don't know the status. I don't know how their relationship works. I don't know this or that, but Jokic does make $30+ million a year. And I just think, like, I imagine there's like a conversation between, hey, it's, you know, game nights. I need rest is why I get paid this much money. I'm not getting up. But I don't know. I imagine it's different for every relationship and every father.
You want an anecdote?
Okay.
Tracy McGrady saw a significant decline in both his performance and his injury health. And he would later admit to suffering from lack of sleep due to his newborn. To the point where, like, it was like a prevalent story. Free Darko, I have a print of Tracy McGrady, and it's a graveyard of like zombie hands reaching up to grab a soaring Tracy McGrady with bags under his eyes. So let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll get into what everyone wants to get into, which is this revenge game one.
Hey, now for real though,
game one versus the Phoenix Suns. We'll preview that game as we come back on Locked On Nuggets. But first, Sweat Block is amazing. Okay. It is getting cold in Colorado. So you think, I don't need to worry about it. No. If you're doing it smart in Colorado, you're like me, you wear layers and layers and layers. And that means that your internal temp is going to get pretty high. Like, even in my little hoodie here now, get a little roasty, but I'm dry as a bone because I use Sweat Block. It's absolutely 100% foolproof. It's got a 7-day guarantee. You know, these wipes, they stop sweat for 7 full days. Like, all of these different stories, there's so many different people that use them, whether it's for a presentation or a date or there's athletes that use them for their post-game interviews, all these type of things. Doctor created, doctor recommended. They got a dry shirt guarantee. If they don't keep you dry, you get your money back. It's not just, by the way, for your armpits, chest sweat, back sweat, which is gross, feet sweat, also gross, hand sweat, also gross. Use it anywhere, and I mean anywhere that sweats. If you or someone you care about is dealing with excessive sweat, you have to check out Sweat Block. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon and CVS. We'll be right back on Locked On Nuggets. Mm-hmm. Back here on Locked On Nuggets, thanks for making this part of your day, and thanks for making this your first listen each and every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Matt Moore and Adam Mares breaking down. Let's get into it, Adam. Tomorrow, the Denver Nuggets take on the Phoenix Suns. It is a big-time game, in my opinion. It is a rematch from the Western Conference Finals semifinal series that saw the Phoenix Suns sweep your Denver Nuggets out of the playoffs. No Jamal Murray. No Jamal Murray tomorrow. ESPN's late game. The Suns are currently a 6-point favorite in this contest. I'll just ask you right off the top, what's the biggest factor going into tomorrow's game?
I don't know. I mean, it's funny.
Great stuff, Adam. Dynamite.
I kind of laughed when you asked that one because it's the first game. I mean, who knows what I really do think the storylines for the first game of the year are so much less about the matchups and so much more about we have nothing but questions about this Denver Nuggets team. I mean, we haven't really seen them play. I mean, how many minutes in the preseason did you feel like, oh, this was indicative of what we should expect? Maybe 15, maybe 20 minutes that you were like, okay, this is something. So to me, I mean, it's the same things that we've kind of talked about for the last week and a half or so. I want to see what Michael Porter and Nikola Jokic's chemistry looks like. I want to see how healthy Will Barton looks. I want to see how comfortable Gordon looks in the offense. They playing faster, shooting a lot of threes. Does that translate? Who comes off the bench and how does that bench perform? So those are the things, but those are the topics that I think I want to look at for the whole season. And tomorrow's our first look at them.
Okay. Do you care if the Nuggets get this win tomorrow? I know you care about every win. I know you care about every game. I'm sure. Saying, is there extra emphasis on this game? Because Will Barton was asked about that by Katie Wingy.
Yeah.
And he, Will leaned into it.
I was very surprised by his answer there. And not just that, I mean, look, I'm not surprised that a player would say, yeah, there's something there. But he mentioned that the team had talked about it, that there was, a discussion amongst the team about, hey, man, this is a revenge game for us. And so that was interesting to me. So, yeah, I mean, I want to see energy levels. I want to see what the approach is to in this game from the Denver Nuggets and how hungry they appear. But really, it's just this is our first look. The preseason was fun, but it was a facade in many ways. And this is our first look at the team. And I want to see everything.
There was obviously Suns and four guy. And there was a lot of chirping in that series. I do walk away with the impression. Do you remember how much the Nuggets downplayed the Blazers as a rival after their first round series or second round series?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, they downplayed it pretty significantly. We tried talking about that because we're like, you went 7 games with them. And they're like, yeah, another team. For whatever reason, the Suns, I think, rubbed them the wrong way last year. Yeah. I think it was that they were chirping so much and the Nuggets were like, we don't have Jamal. We don't have Will. We don't have PJ. We have no guards.
Right.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
And I do think getting swept really bothered them.
I hope so. I mean, I hope so, Matt, because I look at this team and I wonder about that motivation factor. You know, I mean, the game 82 several years back, that was a defining moment for the next season for them. And it was like, okay, it was that. I don't know. It's hard for me to know if being swept motivates them or not, but I hope it does because I think they need that motivation. Every team needs a little extra motivation to get you through an 82 game grind.
I am obligated because of my brand to tell you that tomorrow is a conference game. And so it matters for tiebreaker. The Nuggets are likely to be involved in seeding complications with the Suns. Right. And so this will go part of the way towards determining who wins the tiebreaker. Whoever comes out of this game obviously has a big advantage in determining who gets a tiebreaker between the two teams. That could be the difference in home court in a first round series, potentially, which is where I have this series. I think I have it right now is Suns Nuggets first round with Nuggets as home court. So that's my preseason projection. Obviously I have them winning since I have them winning the entire thing. It's hard for me to say that they're going to lose the first round and win the title. Stupid lack of double elimination. So, all right, can I go through? All right, we'll take a break in a second and I'll add this to rapid fire. Let me ask you this. Let's just get into it. Who do you think wins this game? I know you don't know, but who do you think wins this game?
I think Phoenix wins this game. I mean, look, they're at this very moment, I think, the better team, again, because of the absence of Jamal Murray. But in the way the NBA works, they could end up covering that 6 points. I don't know. But I don't know. I want to see how competitive Denver is. I just want to see how they look. I want to see what this, there's so many questions. Think about it. We have way more questions than we have answers on this team right now. Here's another one. Like, is Bones going to play? I don't even know if that's a lock. I assume he's going to play, but is he going to play, and how does he play? Does he get some momentum? He had momentum in the preseason, but does that momentum translate? I mean, I want to see all of that. So I think Phoenix wins this one. I think Denver, it's not that they don't have pressure, but I think this is a game you look at it and the schedule comes out and you go, okay, probably a loss, but you know, there's opportunity in that.
You want to ease into the season given the uncertainty of everything. I can tell you want to.
I feel like I have more questions about this season than I did most years. Like this year is more of a season where I'm not quite sure what to expect. Usually I feel like I have a finger on the pulse. I think I've nailed the outcome on like 5 of the last 7 years. I think I've been perfect on the win total. And I think 2 of those I was off by one, or I think just one game. This is the year where I'm like, I don't have that much confidence. I'm guessing 49 games. That's my official prediction, 49 wins. But I feel like I might be off by quite a bit, and I'm not sure in which direction.
I also like the Suns in this game to win. I think that they win this game. I think they cover. I think they win by double digits. A couple of things. One, I actually looked this up. Jokic's numbers versus Aiden are significantly different than they are versus everyone else. If you look at how he shoots versus centers when they're defending, his actual effective field goal percentage is the lowest of anybody he's got more than 25 contests against. So, like, I get it. He's the MVP. He's awesome. I've seen him destroy Aiden. But Jokic has admitted that Aiden is a tough matchup for him. Like, he's up front about that.
He gives
him, and I think that's actually really.
I don't know if I don't know if he said Aiton is a tough matchup for me. I don't buy that. This was what I don't buy. I don't think there's anything Aiton does that's particularly unique that bothers Jokic. But you know, he played a series against him without Jamal Murray, and there wasn't a whole lot the team could do. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
So my numbers were based off of the regular season when Jamal played.
Nuggets won, right?
They won 2-1, yep, with an overtime win on the back-to-back.
I don't think they had Michael Porter in either of those, and I'm not sure they had Aaron Gordon either. They definitely didn't have Aaron Gordon.
But well, I mean, at that point in the season, it was early, so actually not having Michael Porter Jr. at that point was actually kind of a good thing. I get it, but I'm going to go off of what Joker's comments have been about Aiden and say
he likes him. They have a very like complimentary relationship. It's kind of funny. It's kind of cute. It's kind of adorable.
Obviously, you know, it's a challenge. I think the Nuggets will be able to. They'll probably run more of their actual scheme, which they didn't in that playoff series much, playing at the level. But I do think that they're going to still get in rotations, and they're going to give up corner threes. And I think the bench is just—it's a total mismatch. Campaign, Cam.
Yeah,
Johnson.
That's a really good bench.
Even without Saric, they've just got a lot of weapons, and the Nuggets bench has been such a dumpster fire. I think that that second quarter they're going to get ran pretty hard.
Could be, yeah.
Like, I actually think that there's a good chance the Nuggets lead after the first quarter and then are down by 8 or so at the half. When like they give up a big thing and then the starters come back in, and it's that thing we've talked about where Jokic comes back in. He's like, "Really?
Right.
I gave you a double digit lead and you really?" I think one of those is going to happen. I don't think Chris Paul is going to do what they did to him, because I think the coverage will be different. But I imagine Devin Booker will probably have a pretty big game. Cam Johnson hits threes. Mikal Bridges hits threes.
Here's another one for you, man. You were talking about what I want to see. Michael Porter said he wasn't very good in that Phoenix series, which is true. And he said, you know, he wasn't very healthy in it. I'm curious to see if he can – if there's something to that. And he comes out and performs really well tomorrow, because I think Mikal Bridges are great. Mikal Bridges and Jay Crowder, good defenders, tough matchup for him. I'm curious to see if he looks good against those guys.
Let's take a break, and we'll do rapid fire on this game when we come back on Locked On Nuggets. But first, I want to tell you about Built Bar, the most delicious, awesome-tasting protein bar in existence. They've got so many awesome flavors. They've got coconut and cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, my favorite, which is cookies and cream, German chocolate. You get a mixed box. It's got 2 of each of the 9 flavors, 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Oftentimes I'm working so much, I do not have time to eat. I'm just keeping a box of Built bars by me and snacking on one or two during the day. It's pretty awesome. Go to built.com and use promo code locked on. You'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code locked on for 15% off at built.com. We're also brought to you by betonline.ag. We're back at Better Than Ever, a new web interface for the start of basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. You head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Hot tip for you. I've got the Blazers. You can parlay the Blazers money line with the Wolves money line tomorrow as home favorites versus the Wolves are playing the Rockets. Blazers are playing the Kings, and that comes out at +122. Mm. Nice little parlay there on money lines for your opening night.
I love that.
Money line. Home openers on money lines.
I'm all in.
They're favorites. Do very well. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. We'll be right back on Locked On. Thanks for making Locked On Nuggets your first listen each and every day. Now make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Josh Lloyd hosts the number one fantasy basketball podcast on the planet. It's free and available on all platforms. Also, make sure to check out Locked On NBA. On Thursdays, it's me with NBA Stockwatch with Jackson Gatlin. And on Friday, it's Adam giving more of his takes, presumably about how he doesn't know what to think about anything, on Locked On Fridays. On Locked On NBA, you want the hot takes.
You want the hot ones. I don't have them for you.
You know, yeah, come on, man. You got to load up. Let's go. All right, rapid fire here. Going to go burn through some questions here about Game 1 versus the Suns. Leading scorer in the entire game, both teams. Who's the leading scorer?
I'll go Jokic.
Okay.
I'll go Jokic. I know he has that tough matchup with DeAndre Ayton, but I'll go Jokic.
I'll go Devin Booker. Let's go.
Devin Booker might get PJ Dozier'd.
PJ.
He might not.
Yeah.
He might not.
No, they might. That's a pretty good matchup. Which team has more turnovers?
I think the Nuggets. The Nuggets have been a little sloppy. They've been a little sloppy. I think that the sloppiness might be a curve to the first 10 games of the season.
Will the Nuggets give up more transition points off of turnovers or missed three-pointers? This was a topic of discussion at practice, which is why I ask you.
Turnovers.
Okay.
I think.
There's a lot of concern about the number of threes that the Nuggets shot and its relation to long
concern
rebounds that lead to – I'm sorry?
Concern from who?
Members of the media.
Okay. So there was an interesting study. I can't remember who did this study. I think it was Seth Partnow, who looked at – three-point attempts and whether or not they led to runouts. This was years back when Phil Jackson said that's why he doesn't like taking corner threes, because they lead to runouts. And it was actually shown that it's almost inverse. The thing that leads to runouts is more shots at the rim, in particular from guards. Missed shots at the rim from guards are the number one transition creator. Threes were very low in terms of missed threes creating runouts. So for whatever that's worth.
Interesting. Okay. All right. I'm into this. I like the data. Big data fan, Matt Moore. So I'm into this. One of my questions was who wins the Ayton Jokic matchup, but you've already clearly answered that one. It's going to be Jokic. Do you think he has like a prolific performance and a loss? Is that kind of what you're predicting?
It's so funny you're asking this, Matt. We just did this. How many bad games did he have last year in the regular season?
Like four.
So the odds of him having a bad game tomorrow, I think, are somewhat low. I would say
they're
pretty low. I think he'll have a good game most nights. In fact, every night I will predict he has a good game.
Will there be technical fouls or flagrant fouls in this game?
No. I don't think so. Do you think so? You have to give your answers too.
Oh, I think so. I think we're getting it. I think we're definitely getting a flagrant foul. I think the Nuggets are going to be when Will Barton tells me that they're looking forward to this matchup and they've talked about it, there's something there.
All right.
So that's and the Suns are built very much to respond in kind. They are Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, those dudes are what is it? They're here for the smoke.
And then Devin Booker and like campaign, those guys like to talk trash. I don't know if they're here for the smoke, but they're there for the trash talk.
Does Austin Rivers play in this game?
Yes.
Does Bones Highland play in this game?
Yes.
Okay. Does Bone Highland score double digits?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I think all right. at this point you have to be, I don't know how many minutes he's going to play. I would guess he gets 10 minutes. And 10 points in 10 minutes would be pretty impressive.
So to wrap up here, you won't be disappointed or shook at that. You seem like you're in a good place not to overreact to this game, which is good because it's the first game, right? You don't ever want to overreact. Yeah, you don't ever want to. But I'll just say this, we've done it before. We've overreacted to single games in the past. That's something that you and I have participated in. Matt,
The win or loss thing is whatever. But then something happens in the game that you're like, I'm not it's not concerning that they lost. It's how they did. And then it's something that happened.
Yeah.
You're like, but Michael Porter just didn't look right or something, you know? And then that's what you freak out about.
I like that you're setting yourself up to try and have the least reactionary position possible. So that means MPJ and Jokic are going to have a fist fight in the court.
And I'll be like, it doesn't mean anything. It's the first game. Yeah.
The first game. Yeah. Everyone has a fist fight at mid court in the first game. Do you have any thoughts on tonight? We already talked about the Bucks real briefly. Do you have any takes on tonight's games in the opener?
Yeah, I do. Again, this is what's so funny. This is, again, you asked me about overreactions. I watch these games tonight and I'm like, is Milwaukee the best team in basketball? Is Giannis the best player in basketball? First of all, that second one. I think Giannis, I know this feels like a hot take. I said this on DNVR. I think Giannis is the best player in basketball. I think he wins the MVP. I made a bet on him to win the MVP. I just think he's so.
What number did you get? Wait, what number did you get?
On Bet Online, I think I got him at plus. What was it? I don't even remember. I don't even remember number I got.
You better have gotten him at 8-1 or better.
I think that's what I was going to say. As I thought it was 8,000. So, but I don't remember. I think it was 8,000.
You're good.
But yeah, so 800. You know, I think Giannis just looks so impressive. That Bucks team just looks so cohesive. The Nets, it's not that I think they're bad, but yeah, they just look to me like they did last year, which is really freaking good and dangerous, but they're just not a team. And they're so good that it might not matter, but it's just, you watch those two and you're just like, this is such a contrast. And then my other thought was, I've said this all along, I think the Warriors are better. I'm better than I think you think they are. And I think that they have added just a few, one or two more smart players. And that's so important for them to have smart players. They didn't have very many smart players last year. And they have a few more.
How good do you think I think it? How good do you think I think they are?
I mean, you're always low on the Warriors. So I don't know.
I have the Warriors as the 3 seed. I bet them to win the division and I bet them to win the title.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And I bet them tonight, my friend. And I bet them live at the half.
Nice. That was a great call. Although this was a classic Warriors game, wasn't it? Here's my take. The Lakers had a sneaky large amount of things go their way tonight. LeBron couldn't miss. Anthony Davis couldn't miss. Avery Bradley couldn't miss for a while there in the fourth quarter. And they still kind of got blown out at home. And I know it wasn't a true blowout, but it was a little bit of a blowout. So I look at that one and I'm like, look, the Lakers are going to get it together. They're going to be good, this or that, whatever. But there were some interesting things that happened with them today that fit the narrative. Westbrook, where does he fit in? He doesn't really. That fit the narrative. So I thought that was interesting. My last thing, man, I know I'm talking a lot here, but I've said this for years, and it was never more true than watching tonight's game. I love the way the Warriors play, and I think Jokic offensively, it's the perfect system for Jokic. And when I watch it and I watch the Nuggets, I'm always blown away at how different the style of play is. And I wish the Nuggets had a little bit more of that in them.
You would think a top five offense that makes the Western Conference Finals would be enough for you, but it never.
You know who else it's not enough for, though? Michael Malone. I mean, this was a question. Were you the one that asked him about it, or were we talking about it yesterday about why is he so concerned with the offense when they're a top five? Why do you have to change things? They've been top five. But I think the answer to that is the same reason you're not content being the fifth best team in the league. You can always get better, and I think Denver can get better on offense.
Fair. I I'll say this. I'm not necessarily worried about the Lakers from the perspective of there's an adjustment period with Russell Westbrook. Everyone's gonna kill him over the next 24 hours.
It fit the narrative. So everybody gets to be like, see, I was right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, look, there's an adjustment period to playing with Russ, and there's an adjustment period for Russ with playing with others. It takes him time.
Well, that period for Russ has been, 11 seasons? So I'm a little bit less optimistic about that part of it. But
no, I mean, Russell Westbrook was an MVP candidate from 2012 to 2017. He was a legitimate top level.
He was a great player. I mean, really, really unguardable in many ways.
Yeah. And at this point in his career, he's less. And the shooting is a problem. And the way the teams are used to him is a problem. But the end of his seasons, especially last season, I think was pretty impressive in terms of he got better. And so we'll see how that works out. I think he'll get better over it, but I am with you. I'll say this. The Warriors, you are right in that sequence where Curry ran short roll with Bielitsa, whipped to the corner, kick back out, rotate.
Was popping. So pretty.
Yeah, ball was popping, finds Wiggins for three, was chef's kiss. I mean, it looked phenomenal.
Like old Warriors, man. Bielitsa is a Warriors player. Bielitsa is a good player. I'm so surprised he hasn't that his value has just been so low for the last several years. Maybe that's what the Kings will do to you. But he's a smart player that fits into a team like that really well, and that's all you need. The Warriors had a surprising lack of smart players last year.
I'll say this, much like with Iguodala, I think that there are personality things that get along better when you're at the level that the Warriors operate at.
Right.
Does that make sense? This is part of the thing, with Draymond is Draymond's shtick and his whole thing wouldn't go over
in Orlando.
If you're like a middling team, you know, if you're just the Pacers,
sure.
It's caustic and annoying, but on these really high level, high ceiling teams, it's good to have tension. My understanding is that Bielitsa fits into that category of a person that rides the wave of tension.
Yeah, I would imagine that's true. But I think even beyond that, just the basketball stuff, he knows, he sees the court, he keeps the ball moving, he knocks down shots, he's tough. Even defensively, he's not a super defender, but he just sees the court, he knows what's going on. So, and then you bring back Iguodala, even though he's old, he just knows what he's doing. Poole has been impressive, he knows what he's doing. Kevon Looney knows what he's doing, not great, but he knows what he's doing. It's just, you put smart players on the court and you can do the complex stuff that makes the Warriors special.
All right, let's go wrap it up for Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for joining us on today's show. We'll be back tomorrow post-game. We'll have reactions from the first game of the season heading into game 2, the home opener on Friday night. Please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on YouTube. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Hit me up there. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at HP Basketball. He's at Adam_Mara. You can find his work at thednbr.com. You can find my work at the Action Network and on the Action Network app. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you guys again next time on Locked On Nuggets.